For all you elk hunters out there, chasing turkeys is basically the same thing. I know the reaction you just gave me, but don't knock it till you try it, and don't try it without OnX. The Hunt app will not only help you find new areas on public ground, but I use it to find out landowner info to get permission on private ground that I see birds on as well. OnX Hunt has a special offer for you. Use code CAL to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt and find more birds this spring.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase.
Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more. That's SeafoamWorks.com to learn more.
From Meteor's World News Headquarters in Bozeman, Montana, this is Cal's Week in Review, presented by Steel. Steel products are available only at authorized dealers. For more, go to SteelDealers.com. Now, here's your host, Ryan Cal Callahan.
Welcome, everybody, to another special drop of Cal's Week in Review. With me today, as always, Jordan Sillars. Jordan, would you like to say hi?
Hello, everyone.
and Mike Abel of Kentucky BHA, as in Kentucky Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Many of you have written in on this subject, and we found the boots on the ground, so to speak. So, Mike, if you wouldn't mind, would you mind just giving us a quick rundown of where you're at in life? You're a retired colonel and a teacher, and you're spending a lot of time volunteering. But if you wouldn't mind giving us some details on those before we get into the threat du jour in Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm very excited to cover the threat du jour with you, and grateful that you guys are willing to help us. I'm Colonel Retired Mike Abel. I spent 26 years in the United States Army Infantry, retired on my 46th birthday, and was already involved in conservation work with multiple groups in old Kentucky, in the Commonwealth, and was blessed to help be a founding member, a plank holder, if you will, for Kentucky chapter of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. My wife and I have hunted all over the world, fished all over the world. I've published a few articles and a book on it, you know, as Hal reminds me, and Hal was kind of my mentor in some of that writing. He reminded me, you know, once your family and friends are done buying the book, you're probably never going to sell another copy. But still was fun to do that kind of stuff, and I'm still doing it. Came out of retirement to teach junior ROTC in a tough part of the city of Louisville, and had an absolute blast, fell in love with the kids in the school. But kind of once we got the program stood back up after COVID, it was time to retire again and get 100% back into hunting, fishing, trapping, traveling, and advocating for our resources and conservation.
Mike, what got you to start this BHA chapter? Because, you know, obviously there's a lot of pre-existing conservation groups all over the country.
So we we'll be 5 years old this year, and in our Kentucky Backcountry Hunters and Anglers chapter. And, you know, I would go to RMEF chapter meetings. I would go to Safari Club chapter meetings. I would go to you know, a lot of the rod and gun clubs and do the conservation work as I was coming up as a middle-aged man and now in my 50s. And I was one of the youngest people at those meetings. And then we had kind of a pint night to designate or figure out if there was any interest for BHA here in the Commonwealth. And I was the oldest guy in the room. It was all these young, talented people that looked like Jordan. You know, they weren't gray in the beard, you know, like me, and they weren't, you know, they were still in that building phase of their hunting, fishing, outdoorsman or outdoorswoman lifestyle. And they decided to include conservation in part of what they were doing as a human being. Meanwhile, every other organization I was in was a bunch of graybeards, and as we call them, grizzled folks. And so right then and there, I was like, well, we got to do this. We've got to get young people involved in conservation to begin with. And I'm still the oldest person on the board of directors in Kentucky at 52, soon to be 53. And we have a lot of young talent, and that makes me happy for the future. So that's kind of the genesis of there were some of us that were middle-aged at that meeting, and we just looked around the room and said, if there's this much young talent, we absolutely have to do the paperwork and go through the hoops. And at that time, Ty was our chapter coordinator, and Ty helped us get through all that subfield. And we've rocked it in Kentucky. We had 41 events last year, and we'll probably eclipse that this year. We're getting ready to go to our biggest wildlife management area down in West Kentucky this year. And we used to just clean that up. We fill construction dumpsters down there. But now we're also going to do habitat work in conjunction with our big turkey study. So we're going to see if volunteer habitat work will have an effect. Hopefully the scientist that's working on that will see their GPS birds use the habitat more after we improve it. So we're doing a lot of great things here, and I'm super proud of our chapter.
So Kentucky BHA, just to lay this groundwork, right, before we talk about what we're really here to talk about, is doing more in Kentucky than just bitching and complaining.
Absolutely, positively. You know, we in those 41 events we did last year, of course, we count our social events, our pint nights. But at our pint nights, we like to have speakers, and you know, we've had people speak on different subjects. And you know, I had a 72-year-old career waterfowler come in and talk about waterfowl and waterfowl hunting and his dogs. And you know, the younger audience is just riveted to get that wisdom. And then in addition to those, you know, pint nights, they're also learning experiences. We do a lot of habitat work. You know, one of the funnest days we ever had was we helped the biologists mark the wildlife technicians mark the boundary of the Marion County WMA and state forest. And by the end of the day, all the people that were painting trees were covered in yellow like Big Bird. And me and my buddies were exhausted from carrying, you know, 5 pounds of nails and all the signs to mark the boundaries. We've done hack and squirts. We've hung wood duck boxes. We've built wood duck boxes. You know, it's our funnest event annually is we backpack trout into the bottom of the Red River Gorge. The biologists cannot get enough manpower to do that, and it's really cool. We'll be there. They'll bring some high school kids, but we'll put 40 or 50 people off of the trailhead down into the gorge, which is a pretty challenging hike, with a backpack full of water and live trout. That's probably our most popular event. But you know, as I've told the chair of the commission, our Fish and Wildlife Commission, I told the previous chair, you know, you give us a list. Originally they wanted us to propose events and do all the paperwork. And finally, I just said, how about you guys give us a list? You keep saying no to our habitat projects and the things we want to do to make public lands and public waters better in the state. And they gave us a list at the next commission meeting. And I was hoping it would take a year or two that we would make friends with the regional biologists. It took months. Once the regional biologists figured out that we had manpower that was excited and willing and happy to do these projects, they started calling us. So we're blessed to have that relationship with the boots on the ground scientists, both in wildlife and fisheries. And they reach out and we work with them. We work with the WMA managers, the National Forest managers. So that it's a relationship driven way to improve what we've got and to try to make it better for everybody.
That's awesome. And that's a great segue into what we're going to talk about today. that issue du jour that we talked, that we alluded to earlier. If you're listening to the show, you know, if a state is in session, if your commission, your wildlife commission is meeting, there is something that can be gained or lost in this big hunting, angling, outdoor community of ours. So Colonel Mike, if you wouldn't mind laying out the situation for us, and then if you could do that first, and then we'll kind of get up to speed on where we're at right now.
Absolutely, Ryan. Here's the deal. In 2022, we had a very similar bill, House Bill 395, and the same groups, Kentucky Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, Kentucky and a Safari Club, the League of Kentucky Sportsmen, and some other smaller conservation groups, and a whole bunch of rod and gun clubs, and a bunch of independent outdoors women and men came together, and we defeated a bill that was very similar to this. That bill, House Bill 395 from 2022, sought to give appointment authority of our fish and wildlife commissioners to the Commissioner of Agriculture. We thought we had killed that, and we were having a really good session. There was over 1,200 bills dropped, and we monitored every one of those bills in the Senate and the House. And on the very last day, at the very last minute, Senate Bill 3 dropped. So in Kentucky, if it's a very low-numbered bill, it means it's a Senate leadership priority. And the fact that it was Senate Bill 3 means they've been working on it for probably 4 months, probably even before the session started in January. And Senate Bill 3 goes further than House Bill 395 that we worked with a coalition of local Kentucky partners to have that bill withdrawn. This bill not only gives appointment authority to the Commissioner of Agriculture, it gives it moves the entire Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife Resources under the Department of Agriculture. And back in 2022, House Bill 395 gave the Commissioner of Agriculture a rotating number of appointments to the Fish and Wildlife Commission, and the governor and the commissioner under that bill would share appointment authority. Under this bill, all nine commissioners would be appointed by the Commissioner of Agriculture. And as soon as it came out this time, we didn't have to ask for help. We didn't have to ask to build a coalition. The leadership of the League of Kentucky Sportsmen were on the phone. The leadership of, full disclosure, I'm a member of the Kentucky and Safari Club Legislative Affairs Committee, who helps monitor these bills in addition to Kentucky Chapter BHA. And we were all on the phone. And then shockingly, Sportsmen's Alliance got on the phone. And then shockingly, Congressional Sportsmen's Foundation got on the phone. And they were reaching out to us. Sportsmen's Alliance reached out through the League of Kentucky Sportsmen. Congressional Sportsmen's Foundation reached out to Kentucky BHA at the same time they reached out to the League of Kentucky Sportsmen. And we were already building this very short, hopefully short-lived coalition to kill this ugly bill, because it's once again makes our department, which we are very fond of, we love our department. It's got some challenges like every fish and game agency, but we're very fond of it. We love it. We're friends with the biologists. We work our butts off to make it better, but we are just exhausted with it being a political pawn and moving it around. It's changed the face of our agency in the last few years, because there's been 7 of these bills. This is the worst. And the fact that it is Senate Bill 3 means that it's not just a Senate priority. They've been working on it for months, because there was, you know, hundreds of Senate bills. That's an issue. The fact that they dropped it on the last legal day they could sponsor legislation means that they learned the lesson. The legislators saw us kill House Bill 395, because they dropped that in 2022 in January. So they dropped this one on February 28th at the very last minute to give us only the month of March to try to beat it back.
So Mike, can you tell me, and I need to ask the stupid questions here, but why is this a bad thing? I mean, agriculture and hunting go hand in hand in a million different ways all over the country. Shouldn't agriculture kind of be a safety net for us here in Kentucky?
So it's your conclusion, Cal, and your idea there, you know, on face value, immediately there's a lot of sportsmen in the state that are like, oh, that's not a bad deal. And if you follow, you know, conservation and conservation funding like we do, and you look at things like the Farm Bill, and you see at the federal level, the Farm Bill has $12 billion in it for, you know, hunter access and wildlife habitat, in addition to the pure agriculture stuff. You can think that way. You can think that, oh, this might not be a bad deal, but you got to look a little deeper. So if you look at the North American Model of Wildlife Management, you get down to science-based management. If you delve into agricultural science and wildlife and fisheries science, they're quite often antithetical. Agriculture scientists will talk about the reduction that, and they don't want to do it in an unethical way. They just don't necessarily want to do it in a way that's congruent with wildlife science. But they want wildlife populations reduced to stop crop damage and to stop livestock damage. And if you look at things like Kentucky Farm Bureau, who they have great insurance for farms, I'm not throwing stones at them, but their doctrine in Kentucky says that deer, elk, bear, and turkey are pests. On their website, it literally says, seek reductions in wildlife to stop crop damage and livestock loss and vehicle accidents. So there is a significant move away from our foundational doctrine of wildlife science and fishery science when you go to agriculture. And the way I explain this to the average sportsman that calls me that has a hard time grasping it, I say it like this. My grandfather didn't have any deer or turkey to hunt. My father barely did. I remember the day when my uncle brought a little forky 4-point in that he killed with his recurve, and everybody from like four farms around came to look at that little forky. It was like 1979. And we spent 80 or 90 years recovering our wildlife to the point now where we're really living in the good old days. It would only take the Commissioner of Agriculture to appoint a majority, so he doesn't have to appoint all nine commissioners, fish and wildlife commissioners, not agriculture, fish and wildlife. He doesn't have to appoint all nine to be agricultural leaning, to be leaning in the direction of wildlife reduction. He only has to appoint a majority, which would be five. They could change our bag limits and extend our season dates. It wouldn't be $1 and three does for your deer permit in Kentucky. It could be, you know, $2 and six does. It wouldn't be two tom turkeys. It would be four tom turkeys. And over a period of time, you could see a reduction in our game species where, you know, you and me are in our rocking chairs, Cal, and we're looking, you know, at the ground and telling our grandkids, I'm sorry, we should have put a stop to this, but we've had such dramatic reductions in our game species because of this agricultural influence that we're back to where our fathers and grandfathers were in the 60s and the 70s.
For all you elk hunters out there, chasing turkeys is basically the same thing. I know the reaction you just gave me, but don't knock it till you try it, and don't try it without OnX. The Hunt app will not only help you find new areas on public ground, but I use it to find out landowner info to get permission on private ground that I see birds on as well. OnX Hunt has a special offer for you. Use code CAL to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt and find more birds this spring. We've all seen plenty of gadgets and fads come and go, but here's one product that stood the test of time. Seafoam motor treatment. Lots of hunters and anglers know that Seafoam helps engines run better and last longer. It's really simple. When you pour it in your gas tank, Seafoam cleans harmful fuel deposits that cause engine problems. I'm talking common stuff like hard starts, rough engine performance, or lost fuel economy. Seafoam is an easy way to prevent or overcome these problems. Just pour a can in your gas tank and let it clean your fuel system. You probably know someone who has used a can of Seafoam to get their truck or boat going again. I guarantee you've listened to them because I use it you know, regularly. People everywhere rely on Seafoam to keep their trucks, boats, and small engines running the way they should the entire season. Help your engine run better and last longer. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more.
Now, a lot of you guys are familiar with the old hunting tradition of eating, you know, some organ, the heart or a chunk of liver off the first animal you kill. I had that when I was a little kid, and it was a big deal. Organ meats were always prized by frontier people who knew the importance of getting a lot of different minerals and nutrients. And as often is the case, those guys were onto something, because organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. And you can get the same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil, made exclusively from regeneratively raised, grass-fed, and finished cattle. Heart and Soil's unique freeze-drying process means all those important nutrients are trapped in, ensuring you experience every one of the benefits of nature's superfood in a clean, convenient, taste-free capsule. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And make sure to use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase. That's heartandsoil.co. Use the code MeatEater.
In the state of Kentucky, certainly in your time, are there some specific examples that we have to go on with the Agriculture Committee wanting these game reductions, or showing the fact that on the agriculture side in the state of Kentucky, that wildlife is a significant problem for the bottom line of producers in the state?
So they've influenced a couple of times. We've had a couple of bills that they've influenced over the years. Most recently, they've worked through our current Fish and Game Commission to try to have like an early deer rifle season, like an antlerless season, to reduce populations. And so Kentucky's organized in four zones. If you can visualize the state of Kentucky geographically, any county that's along the Ohio River from Cincinnati to Paducah is basically a zone one county. Plenty of deer. You can harvest an unlimited number of deer. You get one buck and three does with your permit, but you can buy additional antlerless permits and keep going until the day is done. And we encourage people to, you know, donate those to Kentucky Hunters for the Hungry once your freezer's full. But the bottom line is from zone one, you go to the east and southeast, you go to zone two. There, you know, are further restrictions. You go from zone two to three and three to four. And by the time you get to the Cumberland Plateau or the Appalachian Mountains, the deer, it's not an unlimited season. And so in zone one, they have good argument. The agriculture community has a really good argument to reduce deer numbers, and I think our department has worked with them, and that has been a really good deal. But to make a wholesale shift of a Fish and Wildlife Agency to be under the Department of Agriculture, and then to have all the fish and game or fish and wildlife commissioners appointed by the Commissioner of Agriculture, it's really a bad deal. And it's not just a bad deal for us. In our opinion, we believe it's a bad deal for the Commissioner of Agriculture. That poor gentleman gets put in a trick bag. It's not always going to be a gentleman, but he's currently a gentleman. That poor gentleman gets put in a trick bag. If he appoints nine agricultural-leaning commissioners, then the conservationists and the sportsmen in Kentucky are going to be really upset with that with the commissioner. If he appoints, you know, nine fish and wildlife commissioners who don't agree with the reduction in wildlife, then the agricultural side is going to be upset with them. And the Commissioner of Agriculture here in the state is elected. So he's kind of damned if he does, damned if he doesn't, because all of our conservation groups are, you know, 100% against this, because it's never been something that's worked. Every time leadership has tried to find compromise in wildlife reductions to please the agriculture community and Kentucky Farm Bureau and the agribusiness people here in the state, it's never really worked out. There could be a compromise, and we would be willing to talk about it, but this ain't it.
And let's talk about that coalition there, Mike. It's not just BHA, like you said, that's kind of waving this flag right now. Can you roll through that list, that coalition that's trying to strike this one down? Senate Bill 3.
Yeah, thank you, Cal. Senate Bill 3. So we're very happy that the League of Kentucky Sportsmen has really stepped up. That's our legacy conservation group in the state. The league exists to keep a watchful eye on the commissioners of Fish and Wildlife to make sure that they do what the constituents in the 9 commission districts want. Because, you know, what goes on in the elk zone, which is in, you know, our 7th, 8th, and 9th district, is different than what goes on in the zones where we have too many deer, which is generally the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd district. So those commissioners should be doing what the people in their districts want. And the league is our oldest organization, and that's their job. They really are supposed to make sure that that's going down and that's working hard. And they have a lot of affiliated rod and gun clubs and conservation groups. So they're our oldest historical terms, our strongest. They jumped on it right away. Kentuckiana Safari Club. I know Safari Club and BHA don't always get along at the federal international level, but we have an outstanding relationship here in the Commonwealth. And at the exact same time that Kentuckiana Safari Club jumped on it, Kentucky Backcountry Hunters and Anglers jumped on it. So the 3 biggest groups in the state. We've actually started talking to state chapters of the Wild Turkey Federation and the National Deer Alliance, trying to, you know, work this a little harder. But the thing that made us really happy is we didn't have to reach out to Sportsman's Alliance, and we didn't have to reach out to the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation. You know, the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation's 5-state rep called me and said, "Hey, man, we don't have members, local members, grassroots members like you. Our members are the 89 senators and representatives that are in your legislature that have signed up to be on the Sportsman's Caucus within the legislature. And we are telling them no, not just no, no. And we want to send a letter. We want to put your logo on it. We want to put the League of Kentucky Sportsmen's logo on it. We want to put Kentuckiana Safari Club's logo on it, so that the legislators also know that we have the local grassroots support." So that's where we're at today.
That's great, Mike. And then big question is, right, like, we can always say, like, well, this is a problem, but who should be filling those commission seats?
So our law that outlines who fills the commission seats is pretty cut and dry. In the 9 wildlife districts, wildlife and fisheries district, our Fish and Wildlife Commission is made up of 9 volunteer commissioners that are nominated by sportsmen. They're then appointed by the governor and should be confirmed by the Senate. That's the process. At nomination meetings all over the state, if it is time to nominate a new Fish and Wildlife Commissioner, the sportsmen and women get together. The nominee must be have held a license for at least 2 years as a hunter or a fisher. And we go ahead and nominate up to 5 sportsmen or women at that district meeting. If there's 6 or 7 or 8 that throw their name in the hat, then we have a vote to reduce it back to 5. Those 5 go to the governor's office. The governor's office does their vetting and goes through and picks their favorite of the 5. So sportsmen and women were able to nominate their 5. The governor then picks their favorite of the 5, appoints them to the commission, and then that person will be able to sit on the Fish and Wildlife Commission as soon as they are confirmed by the Senate. And that's how that goes down. The onerous part of this bill, though, Cal, and the reason we know it's really it's loaded with politics is if you go to the last page of a 56-page bill, you go to the last page, it has an emergency clause on it. In Kentucky politics, in Kentucky law, if there's an emergency clause on a bill, once the governor signs it into law, it is in effect immediately. What Senate Bill 3 even says, after it talks about the transfer, wholesale transfer of the Department of Fish and Wildlife Resources to be under the Department of Agriculture, after it gives the appointment authority of all future Fish and Wildlife Commission seats to the Commissioner of Agriculture, it says on the last page, once this bill becomes law, the current 5 appointees, we have 5 appointees right now that the governor's appointed, those appointments become null and void the minute this bill is signed. And the Commissioner of Agriculture will then be able to fill our five current vacancies. There's no emergency. There's no exigent circumstances. The governor's already appointed five folks that were nominated in their district who were vetted as hunters and fishers who need to represent the constituents in those five districts. All we need is the Senate to confirm them, and we have a full board of nine commissioners again. Why would we need an emergency clause? If there wasn't partisan politics involved in this, and I hate to say that there is, but there is, that emergency clause and the fact that those current five appointees are made null and void, and now the Commissioner of Agriculture gets to pick from the five district nomination lists, points very specifically true north at partisan politics. And we're just done with department being a pawn in politics. We pay the bills. You know, in Kentucky, fish and wildlife, hunting, fishing, trapping, licensing with a little bit of boating licensing in there is 50 to 50% of the department's budget. Our excise money that we get from Dingell Johnson and Pittman Robertson is about another 35, 40%. But regardless, we pay the bills, and we should, you know, our voice should be preeminent. It's obviously not. And that's, you know, yet another reason why we're fighting this terrible bill.
Boy, yeah, that last page, unfortunately, it doesn't suggest a change in management. It suggests a takeover.
Yeah, that's what we think.
You can, the listeners out there, I probably shouldn't have said that. You can chalk that up to an opinion piece observation in the moment. So I apologize there, but you're supposed to be making up your own minds and more importantly, making phone calls and emails. And Mike, is there a way that the sportsmen and women of Kentucky can weigh in on this one?
Yeah, and there's quite a few, you know, different ways. Right now, Kentucky Backcountry Hunters and Anglers has our action alert up. And you can find that all over our social media. So it's Kentucky Chapter BHA on both Facebook and Instagram. We're blessed that the Sportsman's Alliance also has a very similar action alert system up, where if you click the button and fill in your information and you agree to fight this bill, it'll send an action alert from them as well. But you know, the thing that I think hits home the most is phone calls. And we have something in the state of Kentucky, and I don't know if, you know, the way it works in any other state, but we have something called the Legislative Research Commission. And that's basically the people that run our legislature, and they have just a standard phone number. It's 502-564-8100, 502-564-8100. And if you call that number, you'll get a very nice person. And then you just tell them, hey, we'd like to talk to the gentleman that sponsored this bill, who is Senator Jason Howell. Like Thurston Howell III from Gilligan's Island, Senator Jason Howell, H-O-W-E-L-L. And he's a really good dude. He's an early in his career senator. This is only his third session, which is another indicator in Kentucky politics that if it's a very important Senate bill that has a very low number, but yet they have a freshman, a sophomore, or a junior senator carrying it as the prime sponsor, that they're doing it for somebody else. And we don't want to throw stones at Senator Howe. What we've said in the past with our coalition is, please ask us in front. Tell us what the problem is that you see politically with the management of our department, the department we love so much, and let us help you craft a bill, and let us be the champion of your good bill instead of this fight that we have at the end. But you can call that number. Anybody in the state can, and phone calls make a greater impact. Then please still do the action alert. Please still send the emails. But if you call 502-564-8100, you just ask the operator, I would please like to speak to Senator Jason Howe. Now, they're in session, so you're probably going to get a staffer or a voicemail. And, you know, you can tell them, hey, please just withdraw Senate Bill 3 and we'll work on a better bill with you next year. Please don't be rude or evil. You know, these people serve as well. They take an oath to support and defend the same as a soldier, sailor, airman, or marine, and we need to thank them for their service. But we got to stop having our department being a political pawn. And the only way to do that is to speak up. And the easiest and best way is to make that phone call. And it wouldn't hurt to call your senator or representative. Do the same thing. Say, I want to talk to Senator Howe. Then call him right back and ask to talk to your representative or your senator.
That's fantastic, Mike. Like we say often and always right now on this podcast, making changes at the legislative level is just not the way to go. As the colonel here has implied, making sweeping statewide changes in wildlife is just not effective. If wildlife reductions are necessary in certain areas, those can be simple regulation changes within even regions within a county versus going statewide. So, and your Fish and Game Commission and state agency is more than capable of tackling those issues because they have the science and the background to do it. So, Mike, thank you so much for being available and letting us know about this situation in Kentucky, Senate Bill 3. We'll get some information up on the website as well. If there's additional questions, comments, please write in to ASKCAL. That's AskCal at themeateater.com, and we'll get back to you. Jordan, you got anything?
We'll post all the information that Mike said at themeateater.com/Cal. So if you're driving and didn't get a chance to jot any of that down, that'll be on the website too.
Heck yes. All right, everybody. Thanks a bunch. Keep your ears peeled and your eyeballs strained, because if this situation in Kentucky makes you concerned, I guarantee it's going on in a state that you probably hunt in or fish in, if it's not going on in your home state. So listen up, stay engaged. Hey, I just sat down with the owners and operators of Maui Nui Venison. They're on a mission to balance axis deer populations on Maui while giving back to the community and run a totally sustainable operation. For folks like me who want to get your own meat but aren't always successful, you can become a snack subscriber, get some axis deer sticks sent right to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNui. Venison.com and use promo code CAL for 20% off your first order.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase.